Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjidil harami ilal masjidil aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwas sami'ul basir. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أفضل جهادكم الرباط وإن أفضل رباطكم عسقلان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. As we go closer to the months of Hajj, then we are accustomed to discussing the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. However, generally we speak about one side or one branch of the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is his second wife Sayyida Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam and her son Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and Makkah Mukarrama, which was the place where they had sacrificed in migrating to Makkah Mukarrama, and the details go on. And it's obvious that we discuss that aspect and that chapter because it is linked to Hajj, it is linked to the incident of Qurbani. And it is only right for us to discuss those aspects in order for us to take lesson from their life. However, due to the current circumstances of the Ummah, I wish to speak about the other branch of the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is his first wife Sayyida Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the place where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam took her and settled with her. He settled with his second wife, or he made her stay in Makkah Mukarrama as per the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the first wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and then her progeny, from whom all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam thereafter came, besides Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, and thereafter all of them that came thereafter, they lived in this area. And this was the place where they spent their life, and many of them are buried in this area. So we will often hear the name Al-Khalil, Hebron, in the news. Hebron is the place where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is buried. The haram of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the masjid in Khalil, which is known as the fourth most historic and significant masjid in the world. The masjid of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in Hebron, he is buried there. His wife Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam is resting there. His son Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, his grandson Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, his great grandson Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, all the qubur are in the vicinity of this masjid in Khalil in Hebron. So like this, the different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that came from that branch of the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they lived in the area around Masjid al-Aqsa. They lived in Masjid al-Aqsa. He is from his progeny Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam reconstructed Masjid al-Aqsa. As Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has the honor of reconstructing the Kaaba, it was Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam who has the honor of reconstructing Masjid al-Aqsa. So, a little regarding this masjid and what's going on in this part of the Muslim world, which is also very close to the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, because so many anbiya from his progeny inhabited this area and they lived there and they are buried there. So, as we are aware that this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is under a lot of tension for a long time, more than 100 years now. Whilst we speak about that, 2 days ago or yesterday was the 77th anniversary of the Nakba, of the catastrophe, which was the formation of the state of Israel, the illegal state of Israel. However, the difficulty started long before that. It did not start then. It started in 1917 when the Ottomans lost control of Masjid al-Aqsa to the British during the First World War. And since then, this masjid and this haram, which is also so close to us and also so close to the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, has been under tension and under difficulty. And as we are aware, for more than 1.5 years now, we are seeing perhaps the worst phase of this Nakba, the worst phase of this catastrophe. It's a continuation which started long ago, but now we find that this has reached this level of proportion that just this morning, one report that I saw, in 36 hours, 250 lives were lost in Gaza. In the last 36 hours, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, so 36 hours before that, 250 lives. Last night was one of the most difficult nights in Gaza. Perhaps we didn't even know about it. We enjoyed our sleep. We woke up and we carried on normal. The question that we need to ask ourselves is that is this the response of the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the ummah is suffering in this manner? We don't even know what's going on. The enemy has tried every possible way, every tactic, every trick. And really, they have a lot of tricks. They are built like that. They are treacherous people. They have a lot of tricks. They use their tricks against the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam as well. So they have tricks. They've tried every trick that they have in their book. But alhamdulillah, up till now, all their plans, all their strategies have failed. Let us not be fooled. They have failed in their strategies. They are warning and they are issuing announcements and that we are going to expand our invasion, etc. They did all of this for the last 1.5 years. Everything has failed. They are just retrying to do the same things that they did. And inshallah, as it failed previously, it will fail again. The same areas. Now they started last night, the bombing was very severe in the north of Gaza, in the area of Jabalia. This area was under total siege for more than 2 months. Still, they have to now bomb the same area. What it shows, that their plans are failing. And this is obviously the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly explains to us in the Quran Majeed, that they will plan, but at the end of the day, it is the plan of Allah that will prevail. And this is something we have to have yaqeen on, that nothing is going to solve the problem. It is only and only the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the help of Allah that will solve this problem. They can strategize and plan how much they want. At the end of the day, all their plans are totally in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, it has been a very difficult period. However, the positive side, which perhaps we may find difficult to believe, that despite this being the current war in Gaza, despite it being perhaps the greatest war for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa in the last century, and I am saying it again, that this is perhaps the greatest war for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa in the last century. Despite that, despite it being the greatest war, or despite the difficulties, despite the loss of lives, despite everything being bombed, it is the greatest war for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa in the last century. And perhaps it is no coincidence that this war is the only war that has been given the name Tufan al-Aqsa, the Al-Aqsa storm. There were many wars in Gaza that were fought. Do some research on the names of the wars. None of the names that were given to the war ever had the word Aqsa in it. It was Ijaratul Sijil, Asful Ma'akul, Sayhatul Fajr, Saiful Quds, Wahdatul Sahat. Different names were given to the wars previously. This war has been given the name Tufanul Aqsa. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired them to give this name, because we are hopeful that inshallah this will be the final war before the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. The people in Gaza from the beginning of the war, they would take qasam and say, Wallahi hazi ma'rakatun nihaya. By the qasam of Allah, this is the final war. They are convinced that the time is very close. Inshallah, when Masjid al-Aqsa will be liberated. So we should not lose hope as an ummah. Yes, we have to fulfill our responsibility, and inshallah we will discuss what is our responsibility or some of our responsibilities. But together with that, we should never lose hope. And as I said, that this is the greatest war in the last century for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. And inshallah, the ummah is the closest that we ever were to the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. Now again, some may feel that this is a very big statement to make. But inshallah, we will explain it. Obviously, we cannot prophesize. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from looking at certain aspects, we, inshallah, we have hope that that day is very soon when Masjid al-Aqsa will be liberated. So the first angle, if we look at this issue, is the angle of tariq, of history. If we look in the history of this ummah, we look in the history of the occupation of Masjid al-Aqsa and the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, then we will find that two times before, twice in history, Masjid al-Aqsa was liberated. And in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu was the first liberation, and the second liberation was in the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah. These were only two times when Masjid al-Aqsa was liberated in Islam. And on both these occasions, it happened such that first Damascus was liberated, and thereafter Masjid al-Aqsa was liberated. First Damascus was liberated, thereafter Masjid al-Aqsa was liberated. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, in the 14th year after Hijrah, Damascus was conquered by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. 2 years later, 16th year after Hijrah, Masjid al-Aqsa was liberated. We look in the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimullah, it was the same. First he took control of Damascus, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him conquest and liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. And the people in Syria also are very hopeful. There was an alim that we met, and he said that Allah who allowed us to conquer Al-Jami'ul Umawi in Damascus, we have hope in that Allah that He will allow us to conquer Masjid al-Aqsa as well. So the people who are involved, they are the people who have these high aspirations and these hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should we lose hope in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if you look at it from the angle of tariq and history, then secondly, a question may come to our mind, but look at the state of the ummah. Look at the Arab countries, what happened this week alone. What sellouts there are. How are we going to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa in this kind of circumstances? Previously, on both occasions, when Masjid al-Aqsa was liberated, the ummah was not in the strongest of positions. In fact, the ummah was in a weak position. Masjid al-Aqsa was liberated 16 AH, 5 years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was the greatest setback for the ummah. Read up the history on the irtidad and how people turned away from Islam. What difficulties and what challenges Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to face on that occasion. Great challenges. But 5 years after that very challenging period of the ummah, when the hope of the enemy was that now we will wipe out the Muslims once and for all, their Nabi has passed away. But 5 years thereafter, Allah gave the ummah liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. Look at the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah. It was a very difficult period. The Crusaders had taken over the Muslim lands. The Shia were very strong in Egypt and other places. A very strong Shia presence. They had colluded with the enemies. They had also made ties against Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah with the enemies. And just as we have today, there was a lot of infighting among the Muslims. There were small empires, and everyone was concerned about his own throne. Everyone was concerned about his own empire as we see it today. It was a very similar situation, but Allah gave victory to Salahuddin rahimahullah, and Allah gave the ummah the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. So inshallah, we have hope that despite the challenges that the ummah is facing today, that day will come soon when Masjid al-Aqsa will be liberated. Although this is not something that we will go with, but even if we look at the Jews, there's certain groups of them who are very concerned, because they speak about the curse of the 8th decade, because never did any Jewish empire last for more than 80 years. No Jewish empire lasted for more than 80 years. They are very concerned. It is their 77th year. They are coming very close to the curse of the 8th decade, which they feel it will be the end of the empire as well. Obviously, this is not something that we go by. But this is history. When we speak about history, then we find that inshallah, that day seems to be very soon when Masjid al-Aqsa will be liberated. Then, the second angle that we look at this issue from is from the aspect of As-Sunanul Ilahiyya. Respected friends, one of the major problems that we have is we view things in the world firstly from the lens of Western media. What Western media tells us, and obviously they never going to give a good picture of the Muslims. They will never tell us the losses that they are suffering. As although they are increasing their bombing, they are suffering great losses. They will never say that to the world. So we view everything from the lens of Western media. And sometimes we add to it something which we think, many of us think, is gospel truth. We think, first of all, gospel, the current day gospel is not truth. But anyway, it's an expression. We think that this is something which is 100% authentic. What is that? Conspiracy theories. So now, because they are speaking against the West, then what they're speaking is right. It's highly possible they are the ones who want us to believe it as well. Now we have a mixture of conspiracy theories and then Western media, and then we come to a certain conclusion. But a Muslim doesn't look at the world from this lens. We look at the world from the lens of Quran and Hadith. We look at the world from the lens, from the dimension and the angle from which Allah wants us to look at the world. And one very important aspect which we neglect is As-Sunanul Ilahiyya, and that is the system and the pattern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is repeatedly mentioned in the Quran Majeed. Allah explains His system. Allah says, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنْ, and many other ayat where Allah speaks about His sunnah. Allah speaks about His pattern, His system, with regards to destroying the zalims, with regards to the Muslims going through a phase of difficulty, and thereafter the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming. We don't have the time to go into all these ayat, but just two ayat, we will not even give the translation of it, just the gist of the meaning of these ayat. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Allah says, when did the help of Allah came? Allah says, the help of Allah came, اِسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ, when the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam also began to become despondent. They also began to get concerned. Where is the help of Allah? Allah says, جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. It is that time when the help of Allah comes. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلُوا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. This last part, we all hear this ayah. The help of Allah is near. Before that, what Allah speaks about? Allah speaks about great difficulty that came to the people of the past. Great difficulty was zulzilu. They were shaken. They were shaken. What is going on today, respected friends? This is similar to what Allah is speaking about, if not exactly what Allah is speaking about. So we have hope. Looking at the sunnah of Allah, the system of Allah, this divine system, we have hope that when the ummah is going through this period and this phase of despair, of despondency, inshallah the help of Allah will come very soon. Then it is also the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in order to destroy the zalim, in order for the destruction of the oppressor to come quicker, Allah gives that oppressor respite. Allah allows him to do more. Now we think, but they're just going on. They're bluffing the whole world. No one can stop them. There's no court in the world that can stop them. Highest court of the world can't stop them. No organization can stop them. Yes, this is part of that sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That zalim and that oppressor continues and continues. He continues his oppression to that level when he is bringing the adab of Allah on himself quicker. So this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we, just to recap, we're speaking about the tahrir and the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa being closer than we even think it to be, inshallah. One is from a historical angle. Then from the angle and dimension of the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, respected friends, if we look at the reality of what's going on, then also it seems that the help of Allah is very soon and the liberation of Masjid Aqsa is very close. Firstly, if we have to study the Palestinian struggle, then we will come to this conclusion very, very quickly that the liberation, that the resistance was never as strong as they are today. In the history of the entire Palestinian resistance, our brothers were never as strong as they are today. And Allah makes it such that whenever they go through some difficulty, Allah makes an opening. So they had the first phase of the war. And in that time, they used a lot of their stores, a lot of their ammunition. Now what they are doing, even the enemy is saying, they're saying there are so many unexploded rockets and missiles in Gaza which they are using, repurposing, and they're making weapons out of it. And now this is good quality explosives that they had to use it against the same people who wanted to kill them with it. So they were never as strong as they are. They have lost many leaders, but they are still as strong as they were in the beginning of the war, if not stronger. So they were never as strong as they are. The people in Gaza, they give messages and they say, "Itma'innu ala ikhwanikum," rest assured, your brothers are in a good state. They say, "Hum ala yaqeen," someone recently, very recently he said this, "Hum ala yaqeenin anna al-'alama sayataghayyaru qareeban." He says that the people there, that are on the front lines, he says they are convinced that the world is going to change very soon. They are convinced that the world is going to change very soon. We wonder how they have this kind of resolve. This is because of the yaqeen that Allah has blessed them with. So, they, if you look at it from reality, the resistance was never as strong. And the enemy was never as weak as they are today. As strong as they may seem, look at the problems that they have. Politically, the problems. They don't have enough soldiers to take part in this war. They have so many other issues, so many internal issues that they have. So they are not strong. Then we find, even if we look at the region, the dynamics of the region have changed. We're not going into the topic of Syria. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion, etc. This week also, many of us are confused on what's going on. We're not going into that discussion now. But the dynamics of the region have definitely changed. It was impossible with the previous regime in Syria, it was impossible for anyone to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa from that area. And as we said, the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa came from that side previously in history. It was not possible. Allah in His infinite power and wisdom, Allah changed the situation in Syria. Therefore the enemy is so frightened now, and every now and again they are bombing there. Because they know that we are in a very, very difficult situation. So inshallah, if we look at different aspects, then it seems that the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa is very soon. But the question that comes about, the question for you and I, is that Masjid al-Aqsa will be liberated with us or without us. That is the plan of Allah, it's going to happen. The question we need to ask ourselves, these people in Gaza are making the ultimate sacrifice. Sacrifice everything for the sake of Masjid al-Aqsa. And that's now we can go into detail, we don't have the time again to speak about the sacrifices that they have made and the reason why they are making those sacrifices. Because they understand that we are fulfilling the responsibility on behalf of the entire ummah. This is the responsibility. There are hadith regarding ribat in Gaza and Asqalan, etc. But again, we don't have the time to go into it. But they are fulfilling this responsibility on behalf of the entire ummah. Masjid al-Aqsa is not the masjid of the Palestinians only. It's not the masjid of the people of Gaza. In fact, yesterday there were two students that came from West Bank that came to the madrasa for admission. They haven't seen Masjid al-Aqsa. They live so nearby. They're making the sacrifices for Masjid al-Aqsa, but they haven't seen Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa is the responsibility of the entire ummah. They are making their sacrifice. The question we need to ask ourselves, every one of us needs to ask ourselves this question, and seriously ask ourselves this question, that have I contributed, and have I helped, and have I played my role in assisting these people that are fulfilling the responsibility on my behalf? When the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa will happen, inshallah, As we said, we are optimistic that it will happen soon. We don't know exactly. This is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the signs are there that it will happen soon. The question we need to ask ourselves is that, will I also have a share in that liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa? If Masjid al-Aqsa is liberated and I don't have a share in it, then really I'm really unfortunate. I'm really unfortunate. Allah allowed me to be living in a time when I can have a share in the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. Now we all may be thinking this morning, I'm saying, let's pack up and move. Pick up arms and go. No, they don't need us there. They don't need us. They got enough to do that. But we have a responsibility. We have a role to play. We will go through it very quickly. Just a few points. Obviously, there's many more things that could be discussed. The first thing is, how much do we know about Masjid al-Aqsa? How much do we know about the struggle of Masjid al-Aqsa? How much do we know about the history of the occupation and the liberation and the resistance? We need to educate ourselves and our children about this, which is the responsibility of the entire ummah. The second is, how much of concern do I have? Or was it just in the beginning of the war, I was very concerned, I was affected, my sleep went away, and now I have become normal. Life is back to normal, it's one of those things. It's an ongoing disaster. We can't stop our life. Let them carry on with their fight, we will continue with our life. We will continue as normal. We cannot be normal, respected friends. They are there on our behalf. Life cannot be normal. Obviously, we won't be depressed. We won't lose our sleep. But at the same time, we have to do certain things. Life cannot be normal since the 7th of October. Then, the next thing is that we can do is we visit Masjid al-Aqsa. If Allah has blessed us with the financial ability to visit Masjid al-Aqsa, this is a very great way of making ribat and of protecting Masjid al-Aqsa. As long as people visit Masjid al-Aqsa, as long as Muslims visit Masjid al-Aqsa from across the world, it makes it more difficult for the enemy to go ahead with their plans regarding Masjid al-Aqsa. So this, even the people in Masjid al-Aqsa will say, those murabiteen who spend the entire time, we won't even know them, there are people who spend the entire time in the haram just to protect Masjid al-Aqsa, because they understand the importance. So if we have the ability, alhamdulillah, Allah has made it easy for us. Maybe there will be certain difficulties that we will encounter. Sometimes, maybe. But Allah has given us that opportunity. Many countries in the world don't have that opportunity. As we said early on, people living a few kilometers away don't even have that opportunity. Allah has blessed us with that opportunity. We should go there. This is our part of supporting. Then, another very important thing, respected friends, which alhamdulillah, the South African Muslim community is known for it, and that is donating and contributing for the cause of Masjid al-Aqsa. We are aware of the famine that's going on. We are aware of the starvation. We don't have an excuse for the starvation that's happening. One senior alim in the world mentioned, he said, "La udhra lana fil jur." The starvation that's going on, we don't have an excuse. Maybe we have an excuse that we can't stop the bombs. We can't stop the fighting. We have an excuse there. But with regards to the starvation, we don't have an excuse. Every one of us, we have the means to cut down certain of our luxuries, certain of our extravagant expenditure, and send something. At least one child in Gaza will be able to eat food because of my contribution. Alhamdulillah, there are still legal channels of sending funds over. Many a times we confuse, we think it's not possible. Yes, the borders are closed. There's no aid trucks going in. But funds are still legally going in. Allah has made that system. Allah has made it possible. If we will contribute the ribat that they are making there, inshallah, we will assist them in that ribat. And we will share and we will be part of the thawab for the ribat that they are doing. There are things that are available, obviously exorbitant prices. There are people that have grown vegetables. So, this week there was a report of a child having a piece of watermelon. Obviously the price was very expensive, but it was grown in Gaza, that watermelon was grown. So these kind of things are available. Obviously, as we said, it's very expensive because of different reasons, but we can contribute and we should not fall short in this, respected friends. Otherwise, we need to ask ourselves a question on the day of Qiyamah, when we face those children, what answer we will have to them and what answer we will have before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is, it is our obligation. Together with that, they become extremely happy. Yesterday there was a report of a person who said that there was some help that came from South Africa, and I went to an old woman and I gave it to her. He says she immediately fell in sajda, and the du'as she made for the donors, I began to feel happy for them. I said, how lucky and fortunate these people are that this woman in this condition is making these kind of du'as for them. So we don't have an excuse with regards to this. Allah has still allowed us. We don't know if it will continue. Allah has given us that opportunity. Let us capitalize on this opportunity and help our brothers that are there. And then lastly, apart from the other things, time has run out. Lastly, respected friends, is the dua that we make. Let us not undermine this. We think these Maulanas don't know anything else. They say, make dua, make dua. The people in Gaza say, nastashiru bida'awatikum. We can feel the strength of your duas. We are actually feeling the strength of your du'as. They beg the world, ad-du'a, ad-du'a. Continue making du'a. We don't realize the du'a is working. We think our du'a is not working. Maybe it's not working in the way we want it to work. We think there's just everything just going to come right. Once, all of a sudden everything going to come right. So we want our du'as to materialize in that way. Maybe it's not happening in that way. But the people, they are saying that we are feeling the strength because we know we have an ummah behind us. Maybe the Muslim leaders of most of them have forsaken us, but there's an ummah behind us that's making dua for us and we're feeling the strength. They will continue their struggle. They will continue their ribat. Inshallah, because of their sacrifice, Masjid al-Aqsa will be liberated. But we will also have a share in that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us that day when Masjid al-Aqsa will be liberated. May Allah allow us to have a share in that. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَمُولَانَا مُحَمَّدِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.